Let's read something first out of Timothy, then we'll jump over there from something out of Hebrews. 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Okay, and of course we fight the good fight of faith with a token, so we talk more about that today. And regarding the gathering together, the tokens of the assembly, those things which God sanctified. And here we can see that the symbolisms, the sign of the symbolisms, okay, also have produced a reality in Jesus Christ. So it said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, which is Jesus, whereunto you are also called. And may all of us, may all of us we have received this invitation to be joined to him by these eternal things. And have professed a good profession, this is our charity, before many witnesses. Okay, that's out of 1 Timothy 6:12. Now about something out of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. Right? Well, we go through the whole chapter. We don't have time, but we'll just read a few verses right here in Hebrews chapter 3, if I may want to make a note on that. And here the Apostle Paul says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. That's what we are doing. Okay, even today, we're partakers of the heavenly calling. We just read that in Timothy. And here he says also, this is the invitation that you're the priesthood which Jesus provided for us after the order of Melchizedek is a pattern which we're following for the purpose of the perfection of our faith. So he says, holy brethren, okay, partakers of the heavenly calling, which we're separating ourselves from the world to God, okay, by the tokens, beginning with stewardship. Jesus set the pattern for the apostles, and the apostles conveyed this pattern to the church. So wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So you see, he's talking about the stewardship and the priesthood. And we'll be talking more about that today as we start with Thessalonians, and we'll be going also to 1 Kings. And we'll be seeing some interesting comparisons there. And why is it the Lord elected particular numbers and representation? Here, and also in Hebrews, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Okay, the word faithful has to do with a practice and consistency. Okay, there's consistency that's born through these tokens. Okay, and the priesthood provides you these things. Okay, this is your peace. This is your crown. This is eternal life. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Okay, we see the word house again. We'll be talking more about that. As concerning that which is the genealogies of this family. Now, the genealogies of the family, okay, is Jesus Christ. Okay, he's provided for us a house. And in this house, okay, we're all partakers as sons and daughters of God. Okay, and in this, we see the word faithful again. Who was faithful to him that appointed him. The word faithful again, there's a consistency that's continually unfolded. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, because he's the fulfilling of those things in one person. And as much as he was built of the house, is more honor than a house. And here we can see Moses built this house, which God initiated. God made the provision, Moses oversaw it. Okay, also Eve provided provision, and Adam had the oversight. Okay, so she was a help meet for him. Okay, as also the tokens which God's provided as a help meet for us. That we are utilizing these things to bond with him and to build, to bring forth for him. For this man was kind of worthy of more glory than Moses, and as much as he was building a house is more honor than a house. And every house is built by some man. But we can see the author, he builds all things in God, as God. It is God that authorized these things in himself, that he set the pattern within himself. By setting a pattern in himself, we remove any kind of ambiguity. And let's get started. Okay, we're in Thessalonians. So have your Bibles open. To those who's just joining us, we're in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Okay, and we just finished up chapter 1 last week. We're in chapter 2 today. Okay, and we also discussed those things concerning his name and the things which glorified him. Okay, because the name, when we talk about the name of the Lord, we're not talking about it's concerning the pronunciation. Okay, but that which is connected to bonding. Okay, in the name of the Lord. We are using the sanctified tokens for this increase as the shekel. The shekel was used. It was a sanctified token. It was a unit of measure for the things which would be holy and the things which were common. It was a unit of measure. We talked about that last week concerning the great and precious promises, which chief elder and apostle Peter or brought to the attention of the assembly that was under his stewardship. He made the great and precious promises. So we see the shekel in its usage there in regarding the holy things of the temple and also regarding the common things, okay, that which is the trade of man. Okay, so the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. See the word glorified, we talked about that last week, but it also means a form of increase, a form of increase. There's multiplication taking place. Okay, it is taken from a seed to the fruit of a tree, from the seed that produced the tree to the fruit that is birthed without it. The fruit of the tree glorifies the tree, because the fruit also identifies what kind of tree it is. If there's an orange on the tree, then it's an orange tree. If it's there's an apple on a tree, then it's an apple tree. The fruit identifies the tree, okay, that provides the source for the cycle to complete. The seed is in the fruit. So the fruit continues to bear the seed, okay, of its parent, okay, and the seed becomes greater than its parent, or the tree becomes greater than its parent, which is the seed. Okay, so the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, being the seed, okay, he sowed the seed of life within us, okay, and that which is sown within us should become a great tree, okay, as a forest. Okay, so that a single tree shall become a forest, as the prophet Isaiah brings out. Okay, so the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you by this power, so that from one man, as Isaac, came a great nation. Okay, and of course, the Lord revealed this to our father Abraham, concerning as the stars of heaven, from all two, and the sands upon the seashore, innumerable. We see a connection here of the things of the water, the sand, and the things of the stars of fire, fire and water. Fire and water, these two particular elements which the Spirit brings out in the sacrifices of that of the first covenant. Okay, and the sacrifices would be washed with water and also sanctified by fire. This again is a type and shadow of what Jesus would fulfill in himself, that God would come in the form of the flesh. And the name Jesus portrayed that which is of water and fire. Jesus was a name so given for his body, which is water. Okay, and Christ is a name that was provided for him concerning a redemption of fire. And John baptized in water. He baptized Jesus in water to show this connection, that out of the water would spring forth a multitude as the sand of the sea. And the fire of the star, you could say the fire of the star or as a dove, rested upon him, which means the knowledge of this anointing would be the token for this reproduction, okay, which we now carry within us as water and fire. For John baptized with water, but Jesus baptized you with the Holy Ghost, as he also proclaimed, and with fire, okay, the things which are from above, which is the masculine. So we see this that the water, okay, the water reflects the sky, and the sky is the masculine, the water is the feminine. Okay, so the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're talking about the sanctified shekel of his kingdom. He rules in his sanctification, and everything is measured to his holiness. He rules by sanctification, everything is measured to his holiness on that one scale. The scale of his righteousness, which robes we have received. Okay, we receive the robes which reflect the holy city, New Jerusalem, okay, which is the bride of Christ. Okay, which is the righteousness of the saints. So you can see why we must put him on. We put him on in order to enter into him. Okay, so it begins with a spark of the grace. Okay, the spark of his grace is the calling forth of the conscience to be joined to him. And those that follow, okay, that light, okay, will enter into the fire. So it goes from a spark to a bonfire or a campfire. So that now a spark only keeps the person lukewarm. It's the fire that becomes hot. So the name of our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God. Okay, which has to do with that measure which he's provided for us for this transaction to take place by which he's governing our destiny, the word God. He's governing our destiny by water and fire. Okay, the fire charity. Okay, the fire charity and the Lord Jesus Christ, the fire of his throne. Which witness we have received and which record we follow today. Okay, those which we have received this witness, which is a testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, have embraced the divine record for your salvation. Okay, now we beseech you, brethren, he says here in chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, we apostles beseech you. What's interesting enough is that we see in the book of 1 John, okay, that has to do with the chief elder and apostle John, the epistle of John there, Okay, whereas he talks about there's a sin unto death, and he says, I do not say that he should pray for it, which is a regard and connection to that which is a stewardship. Those which are abandoned the stewardship, he says, are do not receive remission, which is in his prayers. I do not say that he should pray for it. Remission is within the prayers, which also our Lord Jesus Christ provided this knowledge to chief elder and apostle Peter when he spoke to him. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Okay, there is no remission of sins to those which deny the government of God. It's a sin unto death. So here, the Lord cannot be glorified if there's a separation from the stewardship. Whatever is separated from the stewardship is an abomination in the eyes of God, also called blasphemy, okay, which the spirit of Antichrist, okay, speaks so freely of his own aspirations and calls those aspirations, religious aspirations, the pattern for faith. Okay, and he's going to blaspheme God, the tabernacle, and those that dwell in heaven. He's going to misrepresent everything, putting it within himself. That's why he's called Antichrist. He's putting all the elements within him. Putting the elements in him is idolatry, and also in him is death. Okay, the tokens of this world carry the testimony of death, which we see by the shedding of blood today. The dimension of death sheds blood. Okay, but we are those which are born from above, okay, by which there is no need of shedding of blood, for this is already provided for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. The shedding of his blood, when God came into this dimension, it was the shedding of blood that brought our redemption. Okay, and through these things, okay, he provided richly for us a new form of knowledge for our cleansing, for our adoption, and also the restoration for our innocence, as if we had never had sinned. That our justification would stand within that testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, therefore we're glorifying him. And he says, we beseech you, we, which apostles here, and now we're in chapter 2, verse 1, we, apostles, beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, highlight the word coming there, because we're talking about the many visitations in dreams and in visions, okay, from the Lord of glory. Now, in the book of Psalms, we can see that this has been ascribed to him as the Lord of glory, okay, which means he officiates all substance. All substance bears a letter of his name. And he officiates these things, okay, and has sanctified particular things. Okay, a portion of that which he created was put within the tabernacle, from the wood that was cut to the sacrifices that were offered. Okay, everything sprang from the soil. Okay, the wood was from the trees sprang from the soil. The gold was taken from the earth and melted down by the fire. We see water and fire was put within its construction for sanctification of that first covenant, okay, which was a sign and a wonder which pointed to Jesus. And all the holy prophets, okay, wanted to explore more into these mysteries, but then it was revealed. That's why John the Baptist was the chiefest of the prophets. And that's why there is no greater prophet than he, as Jesus proclaimed about him. Because he was the one who was going to be the introduction. He was going to provide the introduction, okay, for the fullness to be presented. In his fullness, we have received in grace for grace. So we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, hide the word coming there, because we're talking about is concerning the visitations of the Lord. Okay, as we explore further within these things, we can see that since the beginning in the book of Genesis, God continually visited his saints. He continually visited them. He visited them in physical form. He also visited in forms of dreams and forms of visions. He also sent the ministry of angels that represent him in word and in deed. As concerning the manifestations, physical manifestations there, okay, even with Abraham, and physical visitations, okay, with Jacob, whose name was then changed to Israel. Jacob represented one of the flesh, but Israel represented many of the spirit, which would be born from him. Okay, and we'll be exploring more into that today. So, and I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together into him, okay, that we assemble by these tokens. He says, the coming of the Lord and gathering together in him. We assemble together, as we're doing today, by the tokens which we have received, which knowledge cleanses us. Okay, so that by the foundation of truth which is laid within you, we confess these things by the anointing, okay, and that's true charity. Pure charity is by the anointing. False charity is by the aspiration. Okay, false charity carries yea, that which is of the perspective and record of man, whether it be religious or irreligious, carries the perspective of man, and therefore is unsanctified. Okay, but that which God has provided for us, the sanctified things, which has to do with the government of God. So we see government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts, the callings, and the graces of God, okay, are all provided as elements in this tabernacle, in this house, for your priesthood and for the increase of his kingdom. Okay, his kingdom increases, okay, with the increase of God. So that which we have received from him, okay, is also offered back to him as we have received it in his perfection. Okay, in his the sanctification keeps it into the form of perfection. Okay, that which we have received is perfect, and that which our Father has received in our reciprocation is also perfect. So now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together into him. Okay, so in gathering again to him, we assemble in his name by these things to build his kingdom. Okay, we're going to see more about that. So keep your marker here. Okay, and Thessalonians, and we're going to jump over to 1 Kings. We'll see here as concerning the sanctified tokens. Okay, so I'm going to turn over to Kings, and we'll be also jumping to the book of Genesis. Okay, and we're in 1 Kings chapter 6. We're going to start around verse 22 because we're talking about the whole house. The whole house, which means all the family. Okay, we are the family of God by adoption, by our faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, we are children of God by adoption. Okay, by this adoption, we receive the inheritance. So here in verse 22, we're beginning here. And to get your highlighter, highlight the word whole house. The whole house means all the family. Okay, all the family. But here the whole house is also identifying, okay, the physical tokens which identify our adoption. Okay, it's a sign of our adoption. The whole house he overlaid with gold. And we can see that the word the gold there is overlaid the wood. Now the wood has to do with the frailty and is weak. Wood rots, but gold continually increases in value. It's melted by fire and is put on top of the wood. So the whole house he overlaid with gold. He is also that which is the caverns of our soul. The caverns of the soul were defiled when we were in Satan's house. Okay, we bore those things which identified that kingdom. Okay, envy and strife, debate, deceit, murder. And as he goes on and on and on, as the Apostle Paul brings these things to the attention of the Galatian church. He enumerates these things, just makes a whole list. Okay, this is what the anointing will not do, he says. The anointing will not produce this evil fruit. Okay, the anointing produces the good fruit. Okay, and it's these things, okay, the things of the flesh are judged and condemned by the law. Okay, but the anointing frees us from the condemnation of law, okay, as we walk according to him, as we walk in the Spirit. Now, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not condemned. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, then you are condemned. Okay, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And the manifestation has to do with it is manifested within that defiled conscience. The defiled conscience uses the law to try to find leverage, okay, or equity. So the sinner and the wicked and the ungodly trying to find leverage with God by the law, making deals with him. Okay, making deals with him, self-sacrifice. Okay, self-flagellations. Okay, the flagellations of the flesh. They're trying to produce within themselves a contriteness for the approval of our Father, the approval of God. Now the whole house, we're back here in verse 22, the whole house or all the family, he overlaid with gold. This is a point of identification. Until he had finished all the house. Okay, now David purchased these things with the blood of war. Okay, but Solomon, okay, now began the construction. Okay, blood was shed for the house to be made. Okay, Jesus called the Son of David for a reason. He was called the Son of David because not only did David shed the blood in the purchasing of this material, okay, but it was Solomon, the son of David, okay, that followed the revelation for the construction of it and built. And there was peace throughout all the land through the stewardship, or being the hub of the community was within the stewardship. And there's peace throughout all the land. So the overlaying of gold increased its value. The Spirit increases your value. Okay, the flesh profits nothing, as the Apostle Paul said. but the Spirit provides now your value. Okay? And so those which are increasing by the Spirit have salt. And this is what Jesus said, I have salt within yourself. Okay? Every sacrifice is salted with salt and is salted with fire. We're salted with salt, that is the salt of fire. Okay? We have value within us by the anointing. Without the anointing, you possess no value. Your religion is earthbound. Being earthbound is weak. Okay? And weakness is portrayed within, is portrayed or manifested within time. Like a tree grows to a certain point and then dies. It rots from within. Okay? When it rots within, it falls to the ground. It just becomes part of the soil, part of the landscape again on the ground. So, and when he goes on here, now the word oracle, so I have the word oracle there because we're talking about that which is the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is in the stewardship. The voice of the Lord is in what? The anointing. All the house. Also, the whole altar, okay, was at by the oracle. Right? The word oracle, altar, oracle, house. Okay, our soul is the altar of Christ. Okay? And upon these things, we offer our charity. Our charity is spoken through the lips. Okay, the lips of faith. Our lips of faith pronounce these things from that foundation of truth. And by these things, you are healed. By his stripes, you are healed. Okay, so where in the oracle here, verse 23, the oracle, the chamber of his voice. Okay, the chamber of his voice is within that which is of the conscience. The conscience is as the cloud that rests upon the house. The conscience is as the cloud that rested upon the house. That represented his purity and his justification and sanctification. Wherein the oracle, he made two cherubims. Like the word cherubims, which are angels. The angels carry this form of communication, don't they? Ministering spirits. Are they not all ministering spirits? Paul said. Send forth the minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. These ministering spirits provide you the tokens that are necessary for your adoption so that you can enter into your heirship. Okay, you can enter into the reality of your inheritance. Okay, without the anointing, there is no inheritance. Okay, without the anointing, you're as an Esau, nay, or as an Ishmael. With the anointing, you're as an Isaac, because that's the promise is with him. The promise was with him because the anointing was upon Sarah. Sarah had a communication with the stewardship, the bonding. With the bonding, supernaturally, the anointing bridged that which was of death. Jesus rose from the dead, and Sarah had a child past the age, being 90 years old. The anointing bridges the flesh as the gold covers the wood. Okay, and through this, through the anointing, we have a reflection. Okay, as the mirror of the women, the looking glasses of the women were put within the token. So that it would be a reflection of the stewardship and the mating of the connection. The mating of the connection. So where in the oracle, he made two cherubims, angels, of olive tree. So the height of the word olive tree, okay, each 10 cubits high. That's an important number there, because you see the 10 represents that which is the priesthood of completion. So you're complete in him, which is head of all principality and power, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Ephesians there. And you are complete in him. So we see the number 10 right there. You're completed within this priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron. If it was after the order of Aaron, it would be earthly and of the water and the perishable things, but it's of the heavenly, the eternal things, that which is the fire. The word 10 there, the number 10, completion in him. We are perfect in him. Completion, 10, perfection, number 7. We'll be getting that in a moment here. Now highlight the word olive tree, because we can see in the book of Revelation chapter 11 that the two olive trees are the two witnesses. Okay, the two witnesses are these two olive trees and the two candlesticks. Now, the olive trees were 10 cubits high, which show that Enoch and Elijah, will be exhibiting the Melchizedek priesthood in themselves. They will be chief stewards and manifesting forth the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. So the olive tree right here also represents that of the anointing of which preserves. The anointing preserves your soul. 10 cubits high. Okay, and 5 cubits was the one wing of the cherub, 5 cubits the other wing, which equals 10, because it possesses all the callings. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Putting these things together, there's completion. Okay, which is second eighth week. Now, the number eight represents the eternal week. We'll be talking about that in verse 38. The five cubits was the one wing of the cherub, and the five cubits the other wing of the cherub. You notice there's a connection, fullness of him. So that the uttermost part of the one wing, the uttermost part of the other wing were 10 cubits, and it went from one wall to the other wall, filling us. We are filled with the Holy Ghost. As on the day of Pentecost, and they which were filled with the Holy Ghost spoke in a language, okay, which is not earthbound. And the token which we had received was spoken by the language of fire, language of angels. And so our priesthood continues to increase. The priesthood increases the value of your soul. Okay, from the one wing to the uttermost part of the other were 10 cubits. Okay, so we see 5 plus 5 is 10. Priesthood covers the soul, as the gold covers the wood, okay, which represents Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus being that which is a name provided for him by the angels, you shall find a babe in the manger whose name is Jesus. Okay, he is your peace on this earth. Okay, he is the power or the goodwill towards men. He will provide within himself a power as a token, okay, for your sanctification, okay, which is far better than that which Moses provided, okay, or which Solomon built. Let's go on here. Okay, the other cherub was 10 cubits. Both cherubs were one measure, one size. Okay, that which is the Spirit provides perfect equity. Okay, that which is the Spirit provides perfect equity. The anointing brings perfect equity in our perception of life. Okay, that's what the mind of Christ is. The mind of Christ has to do with your perception. Your perception changes through your growth. Every cycle that you go through, your perception changes. Forgetting those things that you're behind, reaching forth on the things which are before. The things which you thought had value, added value to your person, your principle, or your aspiration, you begin to look at it as the dung of the earth. And that's what, of course, the Apostle Paul says. I count those things but dung, that I may what? Win Christ. Okay, this is the race which we're running. Our mobility is within these tokens. This is a race we're running. Verse 26, the height of one cherub was 10 cubits, and so was the end of the other cherub, the ministering angels. He set the cherubims within the inner house, that is the soul, and they stretched forth the wings of the cherubim so that the wing of the one touched the one wall that filled the oracle, and the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall, and their wings touched one another in the midst of the wall, which means there's no breakage of time. There's no breakage of time. It's the same thing between the first eighth week and the second eighth week. But that which followed the first eighth week was the sixth week of darkness, as was so revealed by the angel, the angel of the church, to Hermas, that the breach of this time would be a time of darkness and confusion. Okay, that of the first seal, what came out of the first seal there in chapter 6 of Revelation, the white horse. The false religious system now came forth. The false religious system began to be manifested within the earth, okay, after that of the first eighth week. That was the breach of darkness. But God, by the anointing, filled the breach, as he did also with the children of Israel coming through the Red Sea. Okay, the Red Sea, which also has to do with their baptism. Their baptism was led forth by the stewardship, which was in Moses. And the anointing, which is that fire, bridged the time. That which Jacob was in Egypt, that which is of the promise. The anointing bridges the time. There's no breach anymore between the first eighth week to the second eighth week, because the anointing now bridges these things, as was confirmed to me. Okay, when Chief Elder John and Chief Elder Apostle Peter confirmed my stewardship. John confirmed the stewardship and Peter confirmed the priesthood. So therefore, it removed the breach of time so that the tradition of that first eighth week continues on in the second eighth week without the breach in this house. And he set the cherubims within the inner house and they stretched forth their wings. And so this is a parable, okay, so that the one that touched one another in the midst of the house to speak this parable of the Son of God. So we are complete in him that fills our soul, the chambers of our soul. Now he overlaid the cherubims with gold, and he carved all the walls of the house round about. Now this is interesting, so we can read a highlight this, with carved figures, okay, with cherubims, palm trees, and open flowers. We see that ministering spirits, filled the breach, the palm trees. Now why palm trees? because of the seventy palm trees that symbolized that which was inscribed within the gold, the golden wall there, represented the 70 palm trees, which is a sign to the children of Israel, which is a sign and fulfillment of Jacob being 70. He had the sign of Jacob being 70 and the 12 sons, which also came into the land of Egypt. Okay, the number 70, the number 12. Okay, now the open flowers begins the time of spring for mating. So open flowers was put also in the design of the candlestick, that the anointing would birth a new beginning. The anointing would birth a new beginning. Okay, as Jesus was baptized in water, when he came out of the water, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, a new beginning. The dove in representation of that which Noah also released, which also brought back, plucked off a twig, of an olive twig, and brought it back to him, okay, which represented the Prince of Peace. The anointing of this dove will come upon the head of the Prince of Peace, and by these things he will govern our destiny, being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Car figures the cherubims and palm trees. I like the word palm trees here. Now the 70 palm trees, this is in representation of that. We'll go there in a moment here. And open flowers within and without. It was the covering of the orb or the cloud. Now, and we'll see this also when we get to the next chapter in 1 Kings chapter 8. Let's talk about the 70 palms there, the sign and witness of Jacob. We'll go to Genesis chapter 28. We're going to read some interesting things right there. We'll be coming back to Kings. In Genesis chapter 28, the revelation which he received and the pillar which he anointed, that Jacob was anointing the pillar. Okay, that was a sign. This is a place, the house of God. The house of God would be birthed through him. Okay, the birth through him, through Levi and Judah. And through that, there was deliverance and healing. Okay, deliverance and healing came through the stewardship. Okay, let's go on here. We're going to start around verse 12, where it's in Genesis chapter 28, we're in verse 12. Now Jacob dreamed a dream. Okay, this is a confirmation of Isaac's blessing. Okay, Isaac blessed him, and this is a confirmation of that. Okay, that Isaac, his father, was a steward, and what he said in regarding the things which would be transpiring within Jacob's life was now happening. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. Okay, the ladder here was a tether, and the earth which represented the water. Okay, the angels represented the fire, that they ascend and descend upon Jacob, didn't they? In this vision, which means water and fire would be met together through you, because one would be born of Judah, okay, of the house of David, and his name would be called Jesus Christ. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. So the word ladder is a tether. And the top of it reached to heaven, which is fire. And behold, the angels, which we see as a tutor, the tether and the tutor was within the angels here. Yea, the angels, the tether and the tutor, the angels of God ascending and descending on it, which was confirming him and himself as the key. So that this is a dream that affirms the steward. And behold, the Lord stood above it as the head. And upon this he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, identifying concerning your true genealogy as that of a man of faith. Man of faith, Abraham. He didn't say, I'm the God of Adam. Well, no, we all know that. God created Adam. But here he was more specific and identified the man of faith, which is Abraham. I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. Okay, showing this spiritual genealogy. We have a spiritual genealogy in Jesus Christ, which makes us sons and daughters of God. Okay, and here he's talking about also a spiritual genealogy in which the Apostle Paul brings out in the book of Galatians. We are the children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. He brings out in the book, there's writing to the Galatians, they're in the region of Galatia, okay, as well as also to those in Rome. And he says here, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land wherein you lie, to you will I give it and to your seed. This is concerning the blessedness of the promise and the witness of true faith, which, of course, the idols of sinners don't have. Okay, sinners were living there at this time. But God said, I'm giving it to you. They're not sanctified. The land is by promise, not by that which is the promise of the flesh, but that which is the promise of the Spirit. Okay, because the Lord is also going to establish during the millennium, the millennial temple will be there in the same location, okay, in that same area. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. You like the word dust of the earth there? Because the dust of the earth has to do with the vessels of clay. Okay, but here, the vessels of clay will be innumerable. Okay, and your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south, which is going to spill over. As the holy city, New Jerusalem, has 12 gates. And each gate, okay, there's angels at each gate there, and upon the gates there are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. That represents the flesh. Each gate is a pearl, which also represents the only those that suffer the aspiration will enter in. Okay, we can't suffer the aspiration, but by the anointing. It takes the knife of the anointing, okay, or you could say the circumcision of truth in order to birth this new likeness. All right, you shall spread abroad as the overflow, as the sons of Noah did to begin a new race, west, east, north, and south. And in you, that's in your stewardship, and in your seed, the loins of your loins, shall all the families, you're going to be birthing a new people, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. See the word families, that's the house of God. All the families, the Jew and Gentiles of the earth shall be blessed. They will benefit. They will benefit in you as a refuge. And in this refuge, I put a sign. And this sign is carried over into the second eighth week today. It's concerning the families of the earth will be blessed. They will benefit from the knowledge, the stewardship. The stewardship is the hub of the community. And behold, I am with you as the anointing of Christ. I'm with you to sanctify you and to keep you. I'm going to preserve you from evil, which has to do with false knowledge. And he was preserved from false knowledge, okay, from the idols of Laban, Assyrian, and from the idols of Canaan. Okay, from the spoilage of this false knowledge, I will preserve you. And that this was in Jesus' prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, lead us not into temptation. The challenges which we face, don't let it consume us, and neither let us be hooked, okay, or drowned in false knowledge. So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The false knowledge of this world will be cleansed from, as Jesus promised, so it's happening today. Behold, I am with you to sanctify you, and of course to keep you in all places where you go, whether it be here, in Padanarim, Canaan, or in Egypt, I'll preserve you and your seed, and keep you in all places where you go, and will bring you again. That's full cycle. Jacob, his name was one. When we came back across the river, his name was changed to many. Okay, many were born to him. He went across the river as one man holding a staff, came back the other way, okay, with family. Okay, 11 sons, of course, and about around 16 people, and more, and servants. But the angels were with him there and wrestled with him, because that was a place of birthing and a place of a new name. Okay, and bring you again into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of, okay, in these temporal things. Verse 16, Jacob waked out of his sleep. That's what we call a level 2 dream here. Jacob waked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in his place. It is truly as Abraham said. That's me, surely. As my grandfather Abraham said, as Isaac my father said, the Lord does visit this place. The Lord is in this place. And I didn't even see him. I didn't know him until now. And he was afraid. He was feeling the presence of the mighty angel which was with him. Well, he was afraid because the angel was causing a disturbance or rippling of his conscience. And his soul became troubled. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? And of course, by these things, he began to prophesy. How dreadful was this place? Well, this is none other than the house of God. This land God has selected to birth many people in. And he did. Okay, not only physically through the sons of Jacob, but also spiritually through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he say? The gate. Okay, and this is the gate of heaven. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. He put the gate in the opening, okay, within the stewardship of Jacob, and a key to the house. Okay, your knowledge, the knowledge I give you, is a key to this house. Okay, and now Jacob rose up early in the morning and took a stone. Okay, and of course, Solomon's temple began about 700 years later. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone upon which he put for his pillows of rest. He set up for it a pillar, okay, and poured oil upon the top of it, marking the place, the anointing. The anointing will build here. Okay, the anointing will build here. This will also be a place of trial, but also a place of increase. Our Lord will be crucified here. Okay, but by the power of his resurrection, he will birth many sons and daughters. So he called the place Bethel, okay, of course, which 100 years later became the name of the city, which became Luz. It was Luz at the first, became Bethel at that time. So God changed the names to match his plan. God changed the names to match his plan, as he also did with the Okay, with Jacob. He also changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham. Okay, and Jacob, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Okay, so that the name was changed for the purpose of the plan, people, and locations. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 46. And now, first, Jacob 1, going to Laban. Israel 12, coming back into from Laban to land. Israel now 70, going to Egypt, and now 500,000 coming from Egypt, okay, to the promised land. So we can see the blessedness of Abraham was upon Jacob, as is upon us. Upon Jacob, it was physical offspring. Upon us, okay, is that when we're birthing the fruit of God within the heart. So here is my Father glorified, as Jesus said, here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall be my disciples. You will be now of the family of this house. Okay, so the sons of Joseph, again, verse 27, the sons of Joseph, which were born of him in Egypt, were two souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70 souls. These number 70 there, okay, which is 7 times 10. The stewardship and the priesthood will be carried forth in this tradition. And this will be also a sign in the temple. Now let's go from here into Exodus chapter 15, around verse 26. Now remember, he said to prove them, and he says, if you would diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, which means when I speak through my stewardship, and would do that which is right or correct in his sight, okay, which has to do with that which is of faith, and will give ear to his commandments, the order of activity, keep his statutes, which identifies certain procedures, all right, and that which is restricted by time. I will put none of these diseases upon you. That means I'll keep you in health, put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Okay, but don't stop there. Okay, go to verse 27. I'm the Lord who heals you. I'm your only point of contact point. Now, what happened here? And we'll see in verse 27, the number 12, and number 70. They came to Elim. Now, this was a sign. Jacob came across from Canaan into Egypt with 70. Okay, first he was with 12 wells of water and the 70 palm trees. They came to Elim with 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. Now what was etched, okay, upon the gold walls there of the temple? Palm trees. This is why. It was a sign. It was a confirmation. God gave a sign and confirmation within this. The beginning and the ending, the Alpha and Omega, from the bosom to the bosom. They came to Elim where were 12 wells of water. So God put a sign here as the 12, like the 12 sons of Jacob, meaning that which is the flesh. And also 70 palm trees, which has to do with Jacob's beginning and a new beginning now, okay, from 70 to 500,000 of palm trees being a place of rest. And they rested there and camped there by the waters, which has to do with the one sea or a bath under 12, upon 12 oxen. Okay, we'll see that in a moment here. Okay, and we'll see that in 1 Kings. So we're going to go from here to 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 44. Okay, you can just make a note on that because we're only about one verse here. Okay, and this has to do with construction of the sea. The 10 bases and the 10 labors of the bases and one sea and 12 oxen under a sea. See the 12 oxen. When they left Egypt, the sons of Jacob left Egypt with their sons, with their daughters, with their wives, and with their cattle. And we see under here the sea, one sea, 12 oxen under the sea. Okay, as the 12 wells. Okay, that's another confirmation. The construction of the temple and all of its furniture was a confirmation of all things that transpired prior to that. And we carry that testimony within us today. And now let's go back to, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 6. We're going to continue there. So we see the cherubims, verse 29, the cherubims, the palm trees, and the open flowers. So we see the palm tree, which represents the 70 palm trees, the cherubims, which represent the ministering spirits and the cloud that followed them, as well as also that the oil that Jacob poured on the pillar. Okay, the pillar there. And we are as pillars. That's part of our reward. They shall be as pillars in the temple of God. We will as be pillars of fire within the throne of the Father's conscience. Okay, and from there, okay, we'll be exhibiting all his likeness and his image in other dimensions. We'll be carrying on the tradition of our Father, expanding his house. We're doing it now by faith in Jesus Christ in the heart, the soul. Okay, if you can be trusted with these little things now, being invisible, how much more the physical things when you see them with your eye. Okay, when you see them in your, when your eye there in the reality of it in the Father's bosom. Okay, so cherubims, palm trees, open flowers within and without, visible and invisible. And the floor of the house he overlaid with gold within and without, visible and invisible. Now the entering of the oracle, which is the point of entrance now. Now the angels, which represents the olive tree, and the doors, the olive tree, also represents Enoch and Elijah there, we see in Revelation. Now the entering of the oracle being this chamber with the angels present, and made doors of olive tree. See the word doors. Okay, Enoch and Elijah also were considered as doors, just like what I saw when I was in South Africa. I saw the doors of fire, which are like candles, are represented as Enoch and Elijah there. Okay, a door of entering. Now, for the entering of the oracle, he made doors of olive tree. For the anointing grants us this entrance. Okay, the lintel and the side post, okay, a fifth part of the wall, a portion of the Godhead. The two doors were of olive tree. This was going to be the vortex and gate, which would represent, okay, the Virgin Mary, which also birthed the Anointed One. The two doors also were of the olive tree, as the Virgin Mary would birth the Anointed One. And he carved upon them carvings of cherubim and palm trees and open flowers. He got the anointing, the government, and its fruit, government, truth, and spirit, and overlaid them with gold, and spread gold upon the cherubims and upon the palm trees to show unity and the stewardship. Verse 33, and so also made he for the door of the temple, post of olive tree. Okay, again, the door, the anointed place. The anointing is the door for your entrance. So also he made he for the door of the temple, post of olive tree, which is oil now, in a fourth part of the wall, the number four there. And that's what I saw. Okay, in his dream vision, the number four next to the clock. Now, verse 34, and the two doors of the fir tree, the two leaves of the one door were folding, the two leaves of the other door were folding, and he carved thereon cherubims, palm trees, and open flowers. He covered them with gold fitted upon the carved work. Verse 36, and he built the inner court with three rows of hewn stone, a row of cedar beams. For in 3 days I'll rise as a true son of God. Okay, so he built the inner court with three rows of hewn stone. Jesus, what has to do with the cornerstone of this building. Now, in the fourth year, like the fourth clock there, fourth year was the foundation of the house the Lord laid in a Ziph. Okay, now in the 11th year, that was the number that was crossed out, okay, which was joining 10 and 11 there, or the 10 and 12. In the 11th year, in the month Bull, I had the word Bull there, which represents the time of harvest, okay, which we're entering in. Okay, in other words, what that which is birthed within you now, okay, is going to be weighed to the scale of your worth, okay, in your calling, which is the 8th month, which is a beginning, a new beginning, like the second 8th week, the 8th month. Otherwise, was the house finished, okay, as God is doing today. Throughout all the parts, which is the callings thereof, according to all the fashion of it, and so... was he in 7 years building it, well, that's in the 7,000th year. We're in the 7,000th year, but the third day. The third day of power, the 7th year of time. Right? And so we're going to see now, did God accept us as it was? Yes, he did. Okay, now we're going to jump over here now to chapter 8, verse 10. Okay, this is the result, the receiving of it. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, verse 9, which Moses put there at Horeb. See that you see the history. The history is carried forth that there be no breach of time. What Moses did, Solomon did, Jesus fulfilled. There was nothing in the ark save two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel. Okay, that's in retrospect now. When they came out of the land of Egypt, okay, as Jacob also left Laban in Syria. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, they exited the outer room there, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, okay, as water would overflow. Remember, north, south, east, and west. The four points of the earth there is also the name of Adam, a new beginning. So the priest could not stand, so anything of the law of the flesh, okay, had to bow. Anything of the law of the flesh had to bow the knee. So the priest could not stand to minister because of the fire, because of the cloud, okay, or the anointing, that a cloud represented the state of the conscience. it represented it until Christ would come, when he had actual the actual work of the provision would be a reality. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. The glory of the Lord filled the frame of man. It filled the house of the Lord. As in the day of Pentecost, as the servant, his master's cup came with fresh wine. Now, we're going to go back to Thessalonians. Get ready to close there as you get your sacrifices ready. Okay, going back to Thessalonians here. All that being said, we can see here, this is what it means to by gathering together into him. We're using the sanctified tools of the house of the Lord. By using these sanctified tools, he's identifying you as part of the family, as like the house of Eva. Okay, all the house of Eva is carrying on the tradition of our Father in heaven. Okay, where all of us are of the house of the Lord. Okay, but the Lord has always reduced, he always circumcised until it brought down to the, you can see, the final and lowest denominator. Now, from the many, he took a few, a remnant. That's why it's called a remnant. The house of Eva is a remnant of the righteous. The house of Eva. For many are called, but few are chosen. That's the house. Okay, those are chosen or of the house. Those are chosen have entered the house. Okay, they're not standing outside the house. They might know where the door is at, but they're not entering in. Remember, they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he said, I don't know you. Okay, I don't know you in your present state, because okay? There's no oil in your lamp. You're not functioning with the anointing, though you might know the entrance. This knowledge, the knowledge you might know, but your activity is corrupt. You're not in the house. So let's go on here. And verse 2, therefore, he says, that you be not soon shaken. Okay, shaken, which means, as we see in the book of Revelation, as a fig tree is shaken of a violent wind. Chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6. Okay, now, the shakening has to do with the falling away. Okay, the falling away takes place when something else is established. You have to establish first something before something can depart from it. Okay, and this is what God is doing in the second and eighth week. He's establishing, see, that this house for the purpose of showing a division. Okay, that those which are outside the house, those which are independent of their own ministry, are not considered, okay, of the family. Being not considered the family because they know of the knowledge, but yet they're not functioning, okay, within its proximity. Okay, just like those, okay, of those of the first covenant, they were looking at the temple, but they were not functioning at the temple. Okay, or those which are born in Israel are not all Jews, or not all of Israel. Now, the Apostle Paul also made that distinction, and he also made this proclamation. Wherefore, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and I will be your God, and you shall be my sons. In verse 2 here, that you be not soon shaken, okay, as certain young converted believers want to establish their record as the pattern for faith. Okay, the pattern of faith is not a record of flesh. The pattern of faith is a record of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the fire, not the water. That you be not soon shaken in mind. Okay, he's highlighted the word mind there. That your perception will not be troubled. Remember, Jacob was troubled. Okay, he was troubled because there was a newness was presented to him. Okay, a knowledge was presented to him, which showed that the stewardship, that he will carry the baton of the stewardship from Isaac and not Esau. Esau was not going to carry the baton of the true stewardship, though Esau was the elder. Okay, but it was declared that the elder must serve the younger, and Esau refused to bow the knee. Okay, it finally ended in conflict between the two brothers, where Esau was killed. Okay, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, which we just talked about, neither by word nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Concerning that time of visitation and the rewarding of your faith, okay, which we preach unto you, even the changing of the weeks. Okay, now this was written in the first eighth week. We now, the second eighth week, are reading something that was penned 2,000 years ago to the stewardship, okay, which is relevant, okay, and is relative for now, okay, concerning the falling away. Those which fell away from the stewardship of the first eighth week, they died in their sins. They still had to come within the house of that stewardship. Okay. So the Lord was making these distinctions. You can see in the book of Revelation, okay, where the distinctions were being made, where he says, come out from among them, chapter 28, verse 4 of Revelation, as well as also in chapters 2 and 3, on the angel of the church of Ephesus. Okay, everything was being addressed in order to bring it back into unity of the stewardship on the angel of the church of Ephesus. The anointing which is present will point to the steward. Okay, so and he says, write these things, which were also confirmed in dreams and visions. Okay, but we see that there was discrepancies through the teachings and doctrines, the doctrines and deeds and the Nicolaitans at that time, is just like it is today. The deeds and doctrines and Nicolaitans has to do with substitutionism. Substitutionism is that you're replacing the divine work of Jesus Christ with Old Testament tokens, tithing, water baptism, physical communion, physical circumcision, and observing the Sabbath day. Okay, the teachings and doctrines of Nicolaitans has to do with the reflection of history. Okay, there were those which accepted the terms of the covenant, okay, but they wanted to bring with them, okay, certain traditions which were deeply ingrained within that culture, Okay, but that's why the Apostle Paul talked about being freed from that, from that corruption. Okay, that's why he called them but dung. I'm free from that corruption. Okay, for what he says, what I preached before, what I thought was right, it turned out to be wrong because I was only following the state of my conscience under the law. But that which is the law was good because it pointed to Christ, but I didn't understand it until the anointing showed me on that day. Okay, when that revelation was made known to me. Okay, it's concerning you want the blessing, but you're kicking against the pricks, which means you want that which, okay, which is of the scapegoat. You wanted the hood of the scapegoat. But if you want this blessing, you're going to have to get cut to get it. Okay, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Okay, and therefore he was blind for 3 days. Okay, but then upon the revelation, he received a sight and began at that point, began building with new knowledge. Okay, he began to see the fulfillment by this comparison, and which contrast we see today. The doctrine of Nicolaitans, the teachings of Balaam, okay, or that which is also of Jezebel, the false government, false stewardship, the false prophetic, okay, which we also call psychophysy. Now, Jezebel was deeply steeped in psychophysy. She would prophesy into people, prophesy about concerning their problems of life. Okay, prophecy cannot replace the work of regeneration. Regeneration requires patience of faith, endurance, and your consistency, congruence. Okay, we talk about congruence. It's based upon that congruence. Those things which you agreed with in this covenant, walking in harmony with these things, the compatibility, which means you're going to walk by faith, not by sight. By sight is with physical things. By faith is with the spiritual things. You will be then conformity to him. Okay, and receive the reward and the inheritance, okay, the salvation of your soul.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.